I've never had a meeting if there wasn't an offering. Never have. I've never saw a real move of God that there wasn't an offering. Been told, some folks even wrote in the paper, you know, that a lot of offerings taken up in some of these meetings, and that's all right, long as it's for somebody else. Amen? As long as it's for somebody else, you can't criticize people for trying to help somebody. Amen?
Amen.
And if you do, there's something the matter with you. Amen? All right. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, in the book of Genesis. I'll get it right. Amen. In the book of Genesis, you open your Bibles there. Let's look at it. In chapter 13, Brother Homer asked me to come every year and just preach. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach on missions. I do preach on missions, preach a lot of mission conferences. But during this time, some people said Brother Wood's really hard on missionaries. I ain't hard on no missionary. I give everything I've ever had to them. Amen. You get full of the devil, I'm going to preach the devil out of it. I don't care if you're a missionary. What you are. Amen. Amen. God called us to preach. And the reason that most denominations die is because they will not let anybody preach to them. The Southern Baptist died many years ago. And Mother always told me don't speak evil of the dead. But they died many years ago because they refused to let men stand up and preach to them. Told Brother Olaf, you can't preach. They told J. Frank Norris, you can't preach. And they would not allow men to preach to them. And God didn't only choose preaching to save you, but God chose preaching to maintain you.
Amen.
You'll never amount to any more than the preaching that you get. Amen. And so you remember this, that preaching is that miracle word that God puts in the Bible. Doesn't say teach, it says preach.
Amen.
Thank God for every God-gifted teacher that God gives us, and we need them. But when I started preaching 30-something years ago, we really needed Bible teachers to teach on the second coming. But nowadays, we need some God to raise up some men to preach.
Amen.
Yeah. I didn't say talk, I said preach.
Amen.
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 Act like you mean it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. All right. All right. I love preachers. Amen. Men that surrender their lives to preach the Word of God. You say, why don't people preach? One thing, they're scared.
That's it. Yeah.
Number two, it's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work. Get up here and soak your clothes down. You say, well, I don't think that's necessary. Well, you tell Jesus that.
Amen.
Amen. You say, Brother Wood, he preached in a real calm voice. How'd the thousands hear him? No. Okay, thank you. Who'd they think he was? Abraham? No, they thought he was Elijah. That's what some said. Why? Because he preached like him. Some said he's John the Baptist. Why? Because he'd busted their hide. Genesis 13, and the Bible said, and Abraham went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had. And Lot with him unto the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, and silver, and gold. Now this tells me that a man can love God no matter what he's got. He's living in poverty or living in plenty. He can love God and serve God with it. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel. In other words, he had his money going toward the house of God. Amen? Until the place, and you need to find your place. Well, God wants you and get there.
Amen.
If you ever get there, stay.
Amen.
I feel the Lord is leading me on. He's going to have to lead you before he leads you on. For his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, until the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. Here's a man that went where God wanted him and went on. A lot of times we go where God wants us we're not satisfied, we go on. But if you turn around and go back, God ain't going to do nothing. And there, Abraham called on the Lord. There. Elijah, you go but there. You ever been there? You better get there if you want God. Day of Pentecost, they're there. Now, the Holy Ghost would have come, they hadn't have been there. But they wouldn't have got in on it. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. He had the same thing. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And we're living in a time when there ain't two missionaries that can get along. Everybody wants to be the head honcho. You said there can't be two heads. There ain't no heads on a mission field. God put a man, a pastor of the church. He's a pastor, but a missionary, he's just out there. He's just a servant out there, walking around serving people, winning people to God. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Amen. We're going to preach tonight. Buckle your seatbelt. Let's go. Amen. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle and the Canaanites and whoever the Muzzites were. They dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. We be brethren. Amen. We be brethren. You know, it seems like we try to find out what people don't believe like we do, where we can argue about.
Yes, sir.
You know, you arguing with me. Man, I don't know nothing. I don't even claim to know. Somebody said, Brother Wood don't even use much scripture when he preaches. I don't know much. Just doing the best I can with the tools I got. And I got me a 23-pound hammer. I'll hit you on the toe before it's over. We be brethren. It's not just the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If I will take the left hand, then I will go the right. Here's the Christian spirit. Here's the Christian attitude. I'll go the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I'll go the left. Hey, boy, whatever you want, help yourself. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of the Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It looked pretty good till after God got through with it. Even as the gardens of the Lord. It doesn't say it was the gardens of the Lord. It said it looked as the gardens of the Lord. A little as in there sure changes the complexion here. As. It said it looked just like Egypt. A lot of people like Egypt, don't they? When thou comest to Zoar. Now let Lot choose him all the plains of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east and separated himself one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the city of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we see here the Bible said in verse 11, he made a choice. He made a decision what he was going to do. Abraham took Lot to Bethel with him and his family, and Lot said, I don't like the place of God. I'm going on. Pays more over there. We're hearing a lot about money nowadays in missions. And it takes a lot of money. I believe missionaries ought to get. But I know some men sitting right in here today. I was in Australia preaching for Brother Pike here a few years back, two or three years back, and I said, Brother Pike, you know, we've been friends since way back in the 50s. I said, what is the most money you ever had since you've been a missionary? He said, $1,200 is the most I ever got when I was on the field. You said, you got to have. Don't tell me what you got to have. Now, I've seen some slides where him preaching 10 or 15,000 people. Don't tell me what you got to do. You don't have to do nothing but get God.
Amen.
That's what you got to do if you get the job done. You can get the money and not get God and miss it all. But you can get God and not have a quarter and get the job done. Amen. How do you know that? I watched them Mexicans do it. I've seen guys sitting on the river criticizing every church in the country, talking about every preacher in the country that hadn't helped them. And I watched it, a lot of good Mexican men just go down there with $300 or $400 a month support and get the job done and get it done well. We got some great gringos down there that love God, and I appreciate them. I really do. They do too. This man made a decision. He made it without God. He made a decision that was in his own mind. It was the most costly decision he ever made. This man here made a decision. This decision warped his mind and his thinking and his morals and his whole family. He made a decision. And I want to notice here, if you will, please, that this man loosed himself. The Bible said he chose the Jordan and he journeyed east. And he separated from the one from the other. He got away from the man of God. And you and I do not like to tell the world that we need each other. That's our big deal. These so-called King James people. That's just about a cuss word with me. And I believe that book right there, that one right there. That word's just about a cuss word with me. I'm just about sick of hearing people say, I believe the King James Bible is a word of God, and they don't practice none of it. None of it. You're just a Catholic. That's all you are. You might as well speak through a knot hole to a nut on the other side of the hole. Amen. This man loosed himself from all godly influences. He said, I don't need this missionary. I don't need that mission board. I don't need that church. You are a fool. You are a fool. God knows what you need. And God put in the body what we need. And right now you're saying, I don't even like this sermon. You need it. Eddie Eisenberg one time thought he was saying a cutting remark, and I thought it was a real blessing. He said, when I think of Bob Jones, I think of a great speaker, an evangelist, can sway the crowds and people be saved. And he said, when I think of Clint Sheehan, I think of a man who can teach the Bible. He said, when I think of Jack Woods, all I think of is sandpaper. And I got up right behind him and I said, did you ever see anybody paint a car that they didn't sand off?
Yeah.
Amen. Bless God, you need a little sandpaper, honey. Amen. You need a little sandpaper. Amen. Amen. He loosed himself from all godly influence. And that's exactly what Judas did. Judas said, I don't need them 11 disciples. I'll go find me another crowd. He went out and hung himself. And I've watched some preachers kill themselves. I've seen some Christians take their lives because they got out from underneath them godly influences. I've heard them say, I don't need this church. You think I need this church? Woman walked out of our church 2 years ago, and a bunch of my people are sitting here tonight. They walked out of our church 2 years ago and said, I don't need this church. But Sunday or Saturday evening it was, late Friday evening it was, I got it right now. Late Friday evening, that woman come in that parking lot with her husband and said, preacher, we just come from the jail. We need this church. When you move them children out of a godly influence, and you train them children and you curse every man of God and criticize every missionary on the firing field because of a few bombs that we got along the road. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need God's men. You need them too. I know you don't need them much as some people do. I know you're a spiritual giant. Peter said, don't you worry about me, Lord. I'll be right here. Mary was there, but he wasn't. Let me tell you something, sucker. It'll be a day when you're out, and that woman of yours will be standing for God. I've seen it. Man come by my church one time, and one man got up and said, I want to say to this church tonight, I'm sorry the things I said about it. I want this church to forgive me. And he started walking over and sit down. He looked over and saw my wife on in, and he turned around, and he'd said some bad things. He looked and wrote some bad things in the newspaper. He turned around and he said, Sister Wood, I'm sorry. boy got his heart right with God. Next couple, 3 years, I saw that man. God blessed him. One man got him and said, if I've done anything. He's with him. Done the same thing he did. If I have done anything to hurt anybody, quit your lying in God's house. You know what you did. The Holy Ghost tell you, confess it. I mean, just puke it out on the carpet and get right with God. Amen? Don't stand there so pious, if I've done anything to you, Brother Homer. If I've done anything. Hey, if you don't know you've done anything, don't confess nothing. But when the Holy Ghost said, speak, quit covering it up. You know, quit putting that tortilla wrapper on it. Loosed himself from all godly influences. Loosed himself from those who love God. He loosed himself from those who could help his children. I've heard people say, I don't need this church. Let me tell you something, missionary. Do you think a heathen? It's funny how missionaries, two missionaries get on the field, none of them can get along. None of them. Is that right, Joe? None of them. They don't even speak to each other. I was listening to a guy give his presentation the other day. I was looking to see if the pastor was here, because it was a good friend of his. I don't want to offend him, but he needs offended anyway. Anyway, amen. And this guy got up and he said, when you go down in Mexico, he said, it's just so dangerous down in Monterey where I'm at. And he said, he said people out there, and said, they just molest your wife or molest your children. That's a lie. That is a lie coming right out of the mouth of hell or out of a wicked preacher's heart. You can take your daughter and turn her loose at 12 o'clock in Monterey, Mexico, and there'd be 10,000 children on the street, and ain't nobody would dare touch one of them. I asked a pastor the other day, I said, this thing baffles me that these thousands of young people, that town is 6 million people. I said, how's these kids walk around? He said, well, if you touch one of them, they'd come over her daddy and nail your door and burn your house down. You in it. Ain't nobody going to touch one of them girls. I said, have you ever heard of that? And the pastor, 25 years there, Brother Roberto, said, yes, about 20 years ago, I heard a case of that. And you ought to come to Houston. You have to put your dog up, man. I said he loosed himself from those that could help his children. He loosed himself from Sarah, who could help his wife. There's women in this church right here. There's women in this mission board right here. And I mean, when your wife is down and out, I mean, she done took every slug she can take. I mean, there's people here that she could write to, call on the phone, get a hold of them, and those people could pray with them and help them. But like Lot, I don't need nobody. Bless God, I'm saved. I can go to Sodom, take my wife with me. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. He never got Sodom out of after he got there. Loses God, then one of the greatest things in the world for your life and your family is the godly influence of the church. Amen. We're living in the most disrespectful age ever been. Amen. A guy said the other day, he's a missionary down in Mexico. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a mitigated liar. He told his pastor, told that boy's daddy right there, I'm feeding your daddy in there. He said, don't you have that man? He said, his daddy told me, you know. And I don't know why big men, actually, Big Joe drove for me for years, drove me for years and years. And I'm always getting in trouble. I'm always getting somebody big to help take care of. I don't look like I instigate trouble. But I've seen Joe have to get me out of it. And then Joe left. Well, him and Big John, they've run together since they were little boys. So Big John got saved, so Big John's been driving. Hey, me. If you want to fight, see them after service. Help yourself. Now, I'm too old. But this guy said, he told that pastor, said, don't you? And the pastor said, well, the reason I was having him up here, said he was a blessing to my son. My son got right with God under his ministry or something. And he said, I was just going, don't you have him up here? And I went over to Louis, one of my men. I said, who is this man? Oh, he said, that's that guy who went down and took that little Mexican church away from me. He's down on the border down there. I don't even know the guy. You gotta be careful. You need all the godly influence you can get. Yeah.
And I see people coming here. I hate that reverend look. God, no. Got their Bible, holding their Bible like this. Somebody just needs to just puke all over you.
Yeah!
Then run and lock the bathroom where you can't clean up. That's right. That's right. You're just too holy. That's right. He loosed himself from all godly influence. I said the Southern Baptists done it. The Northern Baptists done it. The Independent Baptists are doing it. Why, if you preach against any little sin, any little bitty thing, one guy, one of these big head men, I ain't going to even tell you who he was. I just mentioned something about mixed bathing. I thought everybody was against that. I thought they were. And I just kind of mentioned, touched it lightly with a 23-pound hammer. He got mad. He said, them my three teenage girls, they can do what they please. I said, bring them to church like that.
Amen.
Bless God, if it's all right out in the street, it'd be all right at church.
Amen.
Brother West, you remember when we came out of Southern Baptist, did you know anybody in the Southern Baptist in 19 back there, Joe, that went mixed bathing? Southern Baptist people didn't do that. There wasn't a church that would have that. But here, in your town, they got churches, got buses, and they go down to Florida. And they all go swimming and stand there naked and hold each other's hand and pray. Hey, snake, you can't pray holding a naked woman's hand. And it's bad as some of you look, you don't need to take your clothes off. Amen. Could you just imagine me and Big John with a bathing suit on? Can you imagine that? Looked like two big whales got out. Amen. He loosed himself from all godly influence. We're not going to have no God. We don't want no preacher to preach against sin. We don't hammer that sin. I mean, I'm totally astounded. Some guy, I don't know if somebody missed, somebody was with him before. He left the mission board because they believe that you ought to tithe to your local church. In other words, this mission board teaches if you don't tithe to your local church, we're not going to send you out. Brother Joe, do you have that rule at your church? Brother Joe, when a man comes down and tells you he wants to join your church, I've heard you, Joe. You ask him, are you going to tithe here? Am I going to be your pastor? Is that right, Brother Joe? If you're going to be a missionary? In other words, if you get over there and get in trouble, are you going to call? Do you need me? Is that why you're joining this church? I'll come. I'll go to any country in the world. I've been to all of them. Trying to help some missionaries in trouble. I don't mind going. But don't join my church and use our name. Because I'm not going to be your pastor. You let me tell you something. Big Joe's been on the field 7 years. And for 7 years, every once a month, there's a faith promise comes. Tithe comes. The mission board sends us a check, $2,500 for all the tithes of all of my men that goes out of my church. Well, I don't understand that. Why should they have to tithe? Well, why should I have to give them $400? I give them $400 a piece, always have. Pray over it, send it to them. If I got to tithe, why don't he have to tithe? But most Baptists tithe like this. They take it out of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy literature with it. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You go and mix bathing, sucker. Amen. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Brother Homer said he's going to buy a playboy with it. All right. Loosed himself from all godly influence. And then he looked too long at the things of this world. I want you to notice here. The Bible said he went up there, and the Bible said he lifted up his eyes. And he beheld the plains of God. Now, what did Jesus say? Lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest.
He didn't say lift up your eyes to see what you could get out of this world. Lift up your eyes to see what you could do for this world. And here he is. And he lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plains of Jordan as well watered before it was destroyed. See, everything ain't going to always be just like it looks. In other words, things change in just a day or two. I mean, it's real pretty right now. It's real bad. They say Texas is greener this year than it's ever been in history. They said the King Ranch has got more grass and more flowers and a fatter deer than they've ever had in the history of the state. They just had too much water, and it's rained in them big cities, and we got way more than we needed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But this guy got to looking. See, grass meant meat. Meat meant money. Are you listening to me? Money means power. Power means prosperity. Prosperity means pleasure. Pleasure means I got me a higher position. Yeah? Stay with me. Stay right here with me. Now, I want to just tell you tonight, sometimes it means misery. Sometimes it means just a meaningless life. I've seen missionaries leave the field and come home. Instead of just getting up, just walking in, say, well, folks, I tell you, I'm through. I want to quit. Now, I would appreciate that out of a man. I wouldn't like it. But I would just appreciate a guy just come home and said, I'm wrong. And I missed God, and I went, and I was wrong. But that ain't the way we do it. The way we do it, we come home and said, well, I tell you, I don't want to go out on that Tri-County anymore. Because you know what they believe? And if we believed everything they said we believed, we'd be so confused. God have mercy. But isn't it strange when a sucker fails and makes a mess out of his life because he's not willing to sacrifice? Then it's somebody else's fault. Now, Brother Humberto, when you and Juan Cadera built that first church, y'all stayed there in that house where your mama's house did. That house might be as big as here, that wall right there, and it might be big. It might be that big, right? A little bit smaller than that. That's the house. That house had one mattress laying on the floor, and Juan Cadera and his wife slept on one end, and Humberto and that girl singing back there a while ago sang on the other end, slept on the other end. Juan done the song leading, Humberto done the preaching, and that church was built. And that church today has a Bible institute. Is that correct? That church has got a mission program. How much they give the mission down that little Mexican church? Between $25 and $40 a month. How did it start? Two Mexicans. That the gringo said don't know nothing. Sleeping on the floor while them gringos were doing deptation. Some of them had dedicated their lives to deptation. But you get to looking at the things of the earth. And you get out on the mission field. Isn't it strange? And you know what they say to me? Well, you know, a Mexican can live cheaper than we can. I know that. That's what we're talking about. He's willing to. There you go. He's willing to. Yeah. And be not careful, gringo. That's the reason I told my wife, I said, when I drop dead, don't you let no gringo put his hand on a casket. You call my Mexican brother to carry me to my grave. I want that girl to sing. That's been settled for years and years and years. But will he be real quiet when you come up here? Amen. You said they're going to have a shout out when you die. I wouldn't die. I want to say this tonight. Lot learned to live in Sodom without God. This old man has traveled all over this world. And I've met men of God, some of the greatest men of God on the field. We got some great men. God, down in New Guinea, we got some of the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Over on that Russian border, we got some of the cream of the crop. Amen?
I said, we got the cream of the crop. But I tell you one thing. Why'd you get in trouble? Some of them done clabbered. And you just go in house, and you see people going through these rituals. Amen. They start going through them rituals, telling you why they have not succeeded. And I'll tell you something. It really hurts the pride for us to just be a failure. They told me when I started preaching, they said, you're going to be a failure. That prophecy came true. I'm going to tell you, missionaries, preachers both, we just can't stand to feel like, boy, I dropped the ball. When I was a little boy, the gypsies used to say, well, I was doing pretty good until I dropped my lunch. I said, how much was he? He said he had $200,000. I mean, he dropped his lunch. He was talking about something else, wasn't he? Huh? Not one record of Lot ever being a witness in Sodom. And yet he knew that something was leading him to Sodom, but he didn't know it was the flesh and Miss Lot. And them teenage girls. And, oh, Daddy, look at this town. Look at all the boys and friends we can have there. Now, he learned to get along without God. He didn't learn to get along without the world, the flesh, and the devil, but he learned to get along without God. And if you're not careful, you can go to the mission field and sit down for 10 years and God never clap his wings. You say, well, God's... don't come on with me like that. You know when the presence of God, Brother Jones, is with you when you're preaching, you men know what I'm talking about. Either God's there or he ain't there. God's touched you or he ain't touched you. My wife told me here a while back, she said, I don't know what in the world is mad at you, but you better go somewhere and get a hold of God. Thank God for an honest woman. Makes me mad sometimes. I told her here a while back, I said, this church is, I'm telling you, woman, these people getting on my nerves. She said, it's you. Oh, you, Miss Wood, just couldn't talk like that. Marcia knows. You know, she's just real quiet. Everybody thinks that she's just such a little... I know, I've seen her standing with a shotgun in her hand and said, how do you work this? Amen. Don't ask me about that woman. We ain't swapping her off for no teenage girl. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I said, they learned to live. There's not a record of his children. They all married the heathen. Why? I'm going to tell you, I'd just soon be a heathen than Lot. I'd just soon my child marry a heathen as marry Lot. At least they just have one misery. He had two. He's fighting the world and God. There's not a record, but there is a record of him being accepted in the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'd rather be accepted than be right with God. And I mean, them people run down his house. I mean, the angels of the Lord come by. And the angels come in there and looked around the town and they said, Lot said, oh, come on, he got that mask on. He pulled that mask on. He said, it's good to have y'all. God bless y'all. Y'all come on down to my house. And they looked in there and said, we're sleeping in the street. I wonder if God came to some folks' house. If God ain't wanted yesterday, God ain't going to want to come in today unless you invite him. My soul. I tell you, this is something, isn't it? There is a lot of records of those perverts coming to his house, and he looked like he knew them by their first name. Now, I'm telling you, perversion is everywhere, and I'm not going to deal with that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, we have a sympathetic society toward perverts. If a guy's a little bit this way, goodbye. Just forget it, man. Hey, before I ever got saved, I had that much sin. Nature give me that much sin. Huh? Yeah. Looked like his wrist is broke. No. And you say, well, Brother Wood, a fellow said the other day, said, well, I used to preach that until, one was in my family. I put that sucker out of my church so quick. I don't care if he was my boy or my girl or who he was. But I'm telling you, just a few days ago, a guy called me and he said, Brother Wood, I just told them they had to put this lesbian out of the church, and they put me out. I said, get on the front porch and holler, glory to God. Yeah. Thank God to get away from a bunch of nasty, filthy, dirty Baptists like that. It ain't but one thing worse than a queer, and that's one that sympathizes with it. Lifted up his eyes and he said, I'd rather go down and live with them perverts, live with this old man of God. He said, we had an argument. Who has? Who has? The first time I ever seen Alan Jones, we had an argument. And I love this guy to death. I really do. I appreciate him, his wife. I really do. God knows I do. That's my heart. I mean, man, we sitting there talking, we discussing something. I don't know what it was. So what? Who cares? Who cares? What's that got to do with it? You said you offended me. Bless your heart. And then we notice here something. He learned to live. Isn't it strange how we get at peace with the world without any peace with God? And be satisfied. I've heard people tell me, they say, well, I'll just tell you, Brother Wood, I'm just perfect at peace. So is a dead man. So what? A dead dog, he's at peace. I saw one landside road coming up here. But then we notice about Lot, he lingered. He lingered too long in Sodom. You got your Bible in chapter 19. You know this thing, when I first started preaching years ago, I used to have a message I preached in the 18th chapter and the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I used to have a contrast there, and I used to contrast that Abraham, the angels come to Abraham's tent, and Abraham went out there and killed a kid, a calf, and brought it in there, and they fixed the calf, Sarah did, and he cooked it, and they came down to Lot's house, and he cooked them something. You said the Bible doesn't say it. Said his wife wasn't there. He went and fixed the food. So he was the chef there. She was playing bridge and he was playing chef. That little wimp. That little wimp. See that nagging woman I hear it with, down there with Abraham. And she said, I'm going to tell you, that old man just talks about God. He's a fanatic. And if we could get out of here and get away from him where we could have some freedom. He's so legalistic. He's a legalistic old man. See? I mean, the Bible said if you're the children of Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? Oh, he tithed and all that kind of stuff. Love God, walk with God, talk with God. Abraham went, Lot went out and talked to him perverts. Now that makes a lot of sense. But you know nothing that a backslidden Christian does makes any sense. Amen. It don't make any sense. I mean, it don't have no sense to it at all. He lingered too long in Sodom. And I'm going to say something. Some of this filth stirred in his conscience.
That's right.
You cannot watch the filth of this world without it stirring in your conscience. You say, Brother Wood, I tell you, Brother Wood, I just sit down in front of the television and I watch them movies and then people going to bed together and roll around that cover together and everything. Brother Wood, it don't bother me one bit in the world. You are lying. You are lying. And the devil is plotting to see.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. You will gather a crop of it.
Amen.
It's filth. It's filth. People don't want you to preach about filth. I don't blame you. I live filthy. I wouldn't either. See, that's why the Southern Baptists needed Lester Orr. That's the reason the Northern Baptists needed Dr. Bell. Amen? They needed him. Sure, didn't he? See, he learned to live at peace with his world. He lingered too long in silence. And some of these evil deeds sickened his communion with God. You don't have a bad conscience. You have no communion with God. He's down in the gates of Sodom and he's getting along fine with them people. In Houston, we say the old Montrose Boulevard. And I see people over there just going by laughing and looking at those people. Let me tell you something, honey. You see some little pervert saying, that's some mama boy. Ain't nothing to laugh about.
Amen.
He's wicked. He's wicked. I said he lingered. Some of this scum stuck to his cold, dead heart. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He lingered. There in that 19th chapter in verse 15. You got that there? Look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened to Lot, saying, rise, take your wife and your two daughters which are here, lest I be consumed in the iniquity of this city. In the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, why did God destroy that city, Brother Wood? Because of the iniquity of that city. That's what it says. And while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand. I mean, they got him by the hand. And upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without that city. He just kept lingering and lingering. God was saying, get out of here. God finally got a hold of him, dragged him out of that city. This thing bothers me. He had two girls, and two girls had a house full of kids apiece by their daddy. One of them was the father of the Moabites, and the other was the father, mother rather, of the Amorites. Moabites and Amorites. And they were a curse to God's people all the way. When they come up out of Egypt, they stood there and cursed them. Saul's problem with who? Lot's descendants. And you know we're having trouble today with Lot's descendants? We don't want to be legalistic about this, Lot's descendants say. Lot's descendants said, I love God just as much as you do. I just live in Sodom. And I'm real nice to these perverts. Oh, I love them. I love them. Lord, look at these little queers. I love them all. They're somebody's darling. I just love them. You say, Brother Wood, I'm a queer. Do you love me? No.
Amen.
I don't. You say, God ain't give you much grace. He ain't give me that much.
Amen.
Amen. He lingered too long in Sodom. And then the first thing God said to him, the only thing God ever said to this monkey is get out.
Amen.
And God had to get him by the hand and take him out. And thank God, sometimes God takes us by the hand and pulls us out of our filth and dirt.
Amen.
Grab you by the hair of the head and jerk you. Now, let me give you this other thing, please. He lost all of the conviction that he had inside of Sodom. He found out in Sodom, if you live without God, you don't have to worry about your conscience. You don't have to worry about Abraham's faith. You don't have to worry about nothing. Someplace, there are some places God won't take care of you. You said, you don't have any Bible for that. No, but I sure got an example right here. I sure got me an example of Peter over there cursing God, and because he's over there by the fires of the world, and he's over there warming himself by the fires of the world, and he got cold on God, and he backslid on God, and he began to curse God. Why didn't he curse God, brother? I started to. And God stopped me. So what was you mad about? I don't even remember. I know none of y'all have ever done that. But there are some places God will not take care of you. You're on your own, cowboy. Let me tell you something. You raise your hand against God's man, God's against you.
Amen.
Brother West, Brother Homer here, and myself, together, we probably spent 100-something years pastoring. 100-something years, that's a lot of years. There's some other men here the same way. 100 years, and all of us could write a book when people had just got up and walked out on God. Missionaries just quit and hung it up. He said, I'll quit when I get ready. Oh, you won't quit when you get ready. Because, see, you come down and surrendered your life to God. Then you got up and told the church you was going to live for God. Then you went out here and you lived for God for a few years. And you said, I can quit anytime I want to. There are some places God won't take care of you. I believe 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians says, turn them over to the death that the flesh may be destroyed. You say, what that really means? I know what it really means. What it really means, what the King James Bible says.
Yeah.
Just turn them over to the devil. Now, the Bible said he lost all of his the Bible said he vexed his soul with a filthy conversation of the wicked. And why is it that you can enjoy the conversation of the wicked, but you can't put up with a missionary on a foreign field? You know what immaturity is? Immaturity is you have got to correct everybody. That is not spirituality. That is immaturity. I was sitting in Randy Pike's house in Australia, and some guy called him and said he was going to tell him something about me. I was there, and I was preaching. I don't know what he was going to tell him. I don't even know the guy. I don't know about it. He might even be here. I don't know. But anyway, he was telling Randy something, and Randy didn't know him, and Randy didn't know nothing about the situation. And Randy just handed me the telephone, and he said to this man, tell Brother Wood he is right here, and handed me the phone. That's what you call wicked, darling. That's what you call wicked. Why don't you just go in there and tell God? He'd do something about it. Them people that you keep talking to, they'll finally get convinced that something's the matter with you and quit sending you an offering. So it'd help you two ways. It'd save you the phone call, and it'd save you support. And you know, people always run up to me, tell me they're losing their support. I wonder why you're losing your support. Maybe you're not supportable. I don't think there's such word, but we just made it. Amen? I mean, why can't you write a letter and why can't you make a telephone call that would encourage somebody to support you? They'd a lot rather hear what the other missionary did to you or what the other missionaries are doing or what the Catholic Church is doing. They'd rather find out what you're doing. And how many got saved where you're at, or what in the world are you going to do? Some people that God just won't protect you from. Now, God told us to come out of the world. Now, what happens if we stay in there? You're on your own. What if you invite people into your home that God don't want in your house, and your children play with those children? You know, people get mad here. These are boys here. And I appreciate the boys at the home. We built that boys' home years ago for the boys at the home. But there's a lot of people here. Now, you listen to me real closely. These boys have all had a problem with the law. And we thank God. Some of them have got saved and got right with God. And we thank God for all that. But missionaries, preachers, and everybody, during camp meetings, they'll get mad. And they'll come over and say, my daughter likes him. You say, well, he killed his mama. Huh? Listen to the man running the place. You say, why did you say anything about that home? Because that home, I tell you, was started by Shady Acre Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. But Sam Cravat is my director. I ain't never said a word to him. I ain't never told him to do nothing. People always tell me about pastoral authority. God never gave you no pastoral authority to destroy nobody.
Amen.
But pastoral authority comes under that 2 Corinthians 1:24. I'm not to take dominion over your faith, but I'm to be a helper of your joy.
Amen.
Amen. That'll be a blessing to you. Amen. But he lost all of his convictions. There's some punishment you will not miss. I've told people, I've dealt with these kids all these years, and in every jail wherever I'm at, one of these boys sitting up here, I was in Idaho here a while back, He was in the jail down there. We talked with him, talked to the judge, talked to the pastor, talked to the people, and he's here tonight and able to get some help. We thank God for that. But I tell you what, before one of my daughters sit down at a table and date a boy like that, and I've been right where they've been, I'm going to see him in a local church living for God. Because what everything looks like outside that home, that ain't just like it is. Wherever Sam's at, holler amen, Sam. Is that right, Sam? It ain't like that. And I've seen people just come up there. One lady told me one time, Sam, and she said, could I take this 11-year-old boy home? And God knows, I couldn't tell you what he'd done. And she took him home. He's a little fat boy. I never will forget him. Art was his name. Mean. Oh, my God, he's mean as a snake. And Art took him home with him. You was there. You remember this? And Miss LaFolla, she's dead and in heaven tonight, and she took that boy home. Oh, I just love these little kitties, and he done one of the awfulest things you ever heard about. And she come back and said, can you believe it? I said, certainly. A boy, he doesn't do anything.
Amen.
He's wicked. He's raised by a wicked mama on the streets of Houston. Yeah, he might have done anything. And this woman, I'll never put another dime. Get out. We're in the rescue mission business. These little soft soap Christians lost all of his convictions. I want to say this. He left all that he gained in the destruction of Sodom. Never bundled nothing of it and took it out of there. Never got none of them children out of there. And I heard Dr. Billy Kenora say this, and so I run a few references. I don't see anything. Billy Kenora said there's not one reference nowhere in the Bible where anybody, any child was ever born in Sodom and Gomorrah. The perverts don't have children. I'm telling you, this is a wicked place, and he's just getting along fine. If you're not careful as a Christian, you can catch a plane and fly to another country and get off. And when you get off there, you say, isn't this beautiful scenery? And it's a beautiful geographical place. And Brother Jack, if anybody flew into Alaska in the spring of the year, they say, isn't this a beautiful place? Look at all the flies. But Jack, when you get on the Indian villages, and little old children raped and ruined and killed and murdered, it's another story. You deal with them demon-possessed people, it's another story. Well, I said, I'm not a fool of that. I'm going over here with these perverts and leave. And I've watched people through the years leave the field looking for a comfortable place. And I know God speaks to men. Mel Rudder, God just had to nearly kill Mel Rudder to get him off the field. I mean, God spoke to Mel Rudder and told him to leave the field. He wouldn't leave. Old Mel just had a heart for missions. He wanted to see people saved. And he just kept going back, and they'd haul him out in the van, and we'd haul him back, and we'd raise money and fly him out, and we'd go over to Natchez and pray. And this had been 35 years ago. He's been sick all his life because he wanted to go to mission field, and God wanted him here building that mission board that he did. Hey, you got to do what God wants you to do. And when God said, no, I'm telling you, man, if God would ever let me have my way, I'd still be south of the border. I love them Mexicans. I told Brother Holman today, I had three good, godly men. Can't speak one word of English. And 7-8 years, they've been there in the local church. I mean, they love God. I mean, they go into Mexico, where they get any support or not, didn't they? They didn't work. I mean, God has already spoke to them. And he told them, I'm going. You know all three of them, brother. They're going to Mexico. Whether anybody ever supports them or not. Yeah. Can't speak a word of English. One of them said, I've saved my money. I got enough to buy me a house. He said, me and these kids, we'll grow something down there. So I'm going to preach to my people. There's 100 million Mexicans going to hell. He said, I'm going to see my people. I said, he lost it all. Are you listening to me? Abraham was getting out, always getting him out of trouble.
always getting him out of trouble. He had cattle. He had a city. He had citizens. He had a cave. He had a curse. He had been a curse to the whole world. Lot has been a curse to the whole world. And there's missionaries that's left a testimony, a bad testimony somewhere. And when we look back, and it hadn't been a great number, I go all over Mexico. Every time I drive through towns in Mexico, I remember when a man fell there, or in Europe where a man fell here, or in France where a man fell here. And he raised up a monument and left that monument to his wicked desires of his heart. These boys they thought in Australia, Brother Willie Cogley, Brother Randy Pike, they preached over there. Men left monuments over there of good independent churches on fire for God. Other men left monuments of bitterness. Grass growed up over the churches. That's exactly what this man left. I'm going to give you this last thing. There's never one incident where we read in this whole thing about this man that he longed for the hills of mountains. He lost all of his desire to serve God. He lost all his desire to fellowship with God. He lost all of his desire. He didn't want to be a friend of God. But God said about Abraham, he is my friend. Hey, Abraham didn't say that. God said it. God said he's my friend, and I know him, and he'll command his house aright. Yes, sir. God said, I know him. I know him. He's a familiar friend. I know him. God knew Lot. And Jesus said one day, remember Lot's wife. That thing's always slapped me. I had a missionary went out of our church years ago, out of Brother Roy's church, and his wife just nagged and nagged and nagged. And Marcia would counsel her, my wife would counsel her. They'd call preachers in the county. Oh, everybody's counseling. But down deep in that girl's heart, she blamed the church for what she wasn't getting. But she left that independent fundamental church, and tonight she's a member of the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And I'd rather my boy to be in the state penitentiary than be a member of the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Yeah. Dr. Ed Young at Second Baptist Church, I was in Indianapolis here a while back preaching a meeting two, three weeks ago. He raised his hand up and said, we have a blanket, and we want everybody to just come under the blanket. It don't make any of what you believe. Just come under the blanket, and let's go fishing. How you going fishing if you ain't got no hook? How you going fishing if you ain't got no bait? That man ain't going fishing. Two of my men went out to his church today. He was going to have a little seminar, and he walked in there, and Dr. So-and-so come in and had on a pair of short shorts. And he stood up there and taught with his little short shorts on, and he looked so cute there, you know. He had a great big old belly. Looked like you just stuck two toothpicks in a watermelon, and there he stood. Vulgar, dirty. He said, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Yeah. My soul. Come under the blanket. You better watch about getting under the blanket with folks. Go fishing. In other words, let me tell you something. Evangelism does not satisfy God. Lot could evangelize all he wanted to. God said, get out of here. You've got no place here. Get out of here. God said, come out from among you and be your scepter, saith the Lord. Brother Homer said, that old man preacher is trying to straighten that thing. God didn't say straighten up none. God said, come out. Come out. You said, Brother Wood, these conservatives are going to do this. And hey, them conservatives is the people that we left 35 years ago when they put Brother Roloff and Lee Robinson in there. Well, them conservative men are the people we left. Them modernists wasn't even in there with us. Never heard of a man being a modernist, denied the virgin birth. Man denied there was an Adam or an Eve. You never heard nobody say that. Well, they'd have done something ugly to it. And I feel like doing it now.
Amen.
I said, he never longed. Why? God was there.
Or does he want to glorify where God is? People say, you know, I just don't like that church. But really down in their heart, they know God, John. And they don't want to come because of God, John. They got no other purpose and reason. You've been under your daddy's ministry there for 20-something years, Tim, and you watch people leave that church. I was up there preaching for them in December, and I saw some people fixing to leave. I could see it on their face. They just had the smack of the world everywhere. I asked you about it. I called her name. Tim said, oh, they're about out. They're about out. Oh, she got this kind of degree, and he got this kind of degree, and these people are out. This man's been there 22 years. I don't care how long you've been in there. You can get out. Me and Homer Smith, Dr. Sheehan and Bob Jones Sr. was in a motel in Florida. Bob Jones Sr., I heard him say this in person. And the phone rang. Bob picked up the phone, Dr. Bob Jones. He said, yes. Yes. Old man began to weep. And he said, what are you weeping about? Clint Sheehan said, what are you weeping about, Dr. Bob? He said, you know the great Jack Shuler, and that had nothing to do with the Jack Shuler we know. There was another Jack Shuler. It was Phil Shuler's brother, the evangelist's brother. He fell into sin. He died in the ghetto down there in New Orleans. Clint Sheehan told me, he said, I asked Dr. Bob, how long, where does a man have to be with God before that won't happen to him? And he said, Bob Jones was 82 years old, stuck his thumb in my face, said, Clint, you and I can be gone in the morning. That's why God warned you to get that spiritual fortitude. Because the trials and temptations are coming. You look out there and see what Lot saw. You've never been tempted like that. You've never been tempted. You've never been taken up on a pinnacle and said, I'll give you the whole world. He just offered your $2 raise and you pulled out. I'm honest tonight. I'm as honest as a heartbeat. I've never had a desire to pastor a church. I never preached in view of the call for a church. Never. And nobody ever come to hear me preach. Nobody. I never had a pulpit committee walk in and say, we come to hear you, we're thinking about calling. But in my heart tonight, I'm honest. I've been this thing 39 years. I had never done everything that was right, but I'm clean now. My heart's clean. I ain't took nobody else's wife. And I've been living that woman. If I live the next month, it'll be 40 years I've been with this one woman. 40 years. And I wouldn't swap her for the world. Not for the world. I walked into a place with Tim the other day, me and Tim Green's in Dayton, Ohio, and I had $15,000 that belonged to me. The government gave it to me because I had a flood. We started buying that furniture, Tim. Tim, I couldn't have any liberty. And Mr. Wright told me, said, he told me on the phone, didn't he? Don Wright told me, said, just get whatever you want. And I looked at all that furniture and everything. And I said, you know, I ain't never had $15,000. Man, that's a lot of dope. And said, well, buy me an ice box, buy me a stove and a washer and a dryer, all ruined in that flood, 30 inches of water. And get me a bed. That little girl was playing that horn a while ago. Where's she at? Your wife's over there. She was at the, her daddy come by, and daddy's a policeman in Houston. He come by and give me a brand new king size bed. I said, well, I don't need to buy a king size bed. I got to looking around there. I said, man, I said, how much you want to put them blocks up there? He said, $15,000. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this furniture. Tim said, that's nice furniture, brother. Well, that's cheaper than I've been. I said, yeah, yes, sir. I said, that furniture won't put up no bricks. And messed him down the other day, and my wife said, preacher, You're over halfway through. He said, where's the furniture? And he bought me a brand new king-size bed, can you? I'm going to put that king-size bed. He's where you're going to wash your clothes. Man, everybody in Houston got a second-hand washing machine. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. See, I got to hurry up with these bricks. See, I can't wait no 2 or 3 years. So you get to, I'll be 64 in a few months, and so you can't wait 2 or 3 years when you get that over. I got to hurry. And I don't want nobody else preaching that church first. Christmas stuff. And that's the way we've done it. That's the way we've done it. I'm clean tonight. I know it's the blood of Jesus. I know God done it all. I want to tell you one thing. I never had a desire in my heart to leave him. I've missed him. I've missed him a million miles. I've done some things that, it dishonors the Lord. I just missed him. But I tell you, when I missed him, you know what I was looking for? Him. But I'm just so dumb. He knows that. He said, now, Jack didn't mean that. I imagine Jesus just told the apostle, that poor sucker's ignorant. And you can't help being ignorant. I can't help it. But I thank God for the 17th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and I found out that Jesus made a sacrifice for ignorance. And he said he died for them that are ignorant and out of the way. And I was ignorant. And God will overlook your ignorance. God will not look over your wickedness. See, God wasn't ignorant. He knew what was in Sodom. He knew what was in Gomorrah. What he wanted was wrath. And Abraham wanted grace. Go down and build commerce. Set his cattle. Abraham wants to step and commune with God. I told you all about Lot's children. How about Abraham? Isaac and Jacob. And 12 sons of Jacob. And tonight, one of them boys was named Judah. Our Lord came right down that line. How come? Because he took grace. Bit of grass. Amen. You said it doesn't have anything to do with your wish. You missed him tonight. A few days ago, an old man down in Texas walked in my church, began to weep. He said, preacher, I was out here to prison. And he said, I was going to go in and preach. And he said, his pastor asked me if I'd take him with me. Told me the pastor's name, and I know him, and 85 cents he'd never give him. He said, preacher, he stopped us at the door, shook us down, and found 6 sticks of marijuana in his boot. That's willful. Deliberate sin, even jeopardizing another man's ministry. He said, what I've built over the years is a testimony that destroyed with 6 sticks of grass. And I thought to myself, don't worry about it, sir. I didn't tell him, but I said to myself, don't worry about it, sir. That man lost a whole lot more than you did. He's an independent Baptist and been in this thing 25 years. He lost a lot more than you did taking his buddy than 6 sticks of grass. That was in Matamoros, where you live. Now, you wonder why the world's going to hell? He said, I wouldn't have told that. I know that's why he put me up here. Now, a strange thing. There's a lot of lots running around. And just remember, everybody that says they're an independent Baptist preacher, that's a good place for a solitary, a deceiver. It's a good place for it. The mission field is a good place for a solitary. Good place for it. I didn't say there were many of them, but I just said there was a place for it. Yeah. A good place for it. I've met a few in my day. Let's pray. I'm completely aware. I just took my time tonight praying that God would let this thing soak in. What Abraham had, preacher, just promises. 10 promises were yea and nay in Christ Jesus. Had the blessings of God, had his family right with God, had a place to worship God, and Lot laying in a cave like an animal and living just like that. What do you want tonight? Abraham, an altar, house of God, a lot of the world, of the deceitfulness of riches. What do you want? What do you want? You can have in this life whatever you want. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you can sit and vex your soul and still have a conversation with you. Die and meet God empty handed.
I don't want to go that way.
Father, speak to us tonight. These young men, I'm not trying to be hard, I'm not trying to be ugly. Sure not trying to be unkind. Oh God, we're trying to wave a flag in the front of a mad, crazy world. God, I pray we as Christians would observe the lives of these men that were failures in the sight of God. Lord, these men no doubt were saved people, but they missed God. You said he vexed his righteous soul. I don't understand that, but you said it, I believe. Lord God, I pray that you deal with every soul that's here. For those who are here tonight, Lord, without the Savior, I pray you deal with them tonight. Save them for Jesus' sake. Lord, we thank you for these old men of God that's here. Come here to give their time and what they know. Try to be a blessing to these young men. Day after day, hour after hour, they stood and taught the word of God. Bless them, Lord. Lord, may we leave here never, never to be the same. Help us, Lord, not to ever, ever have that spirit, I have arrived. But Lord, we're on a journey. We're just a pilgrim. Help us to act that way. And to depend on you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Please, everyone stand. Amen, Brother Reed. Let's sing it. Page 316. Join. Everybody sing it. The immediate sing it. To follow Jesus. I have decided. Yes. Father's Day, Marcia and her boy sent me a card. She said, "Dad, I'm so glad you're my dad." I started to walk out of that house, that woman handed me my briefcase. "That woman ain't no hypocrite, I'm here to tell you." She said, "Old man, it's a joy to carry your briefcase. A joy to haul you to a plane. I don't care what the world thinks. I do care what the minister thinks, but it don't bother me regardless of what they think. But I'm really concerned what they think because they know me." One little old boy, he's away from God tonight, and he called me and he said, "Pop, I love you. I don't have no trouble with my children. I have no trouble with my boys. I got five of them, three girls. One great grandchild lives out there in San Diego. Great grandchild. About 25 grandchildren. 10 or 12 of them there Sunday morning. They come down the front and hug my neck. Say, Grandpa, we love you. Amen." Nothing like it. You take a lot, all the lots you want to hear me out. I want to know that. Devil might kick both my feet out before daylight. But that ain't what's in my heart. I told Brother Homer today, I said, "Brother Homer, the best. Just a few more years, me at the best. Just, well, let's just run it to the end." Amen. Amen. I've rededicated my life in the last few days. I'm going to preach harder against sin than I ever had in my life. Amen. You don't believe that, call CD at the Baptist Master. I mean, we had 90 run for cover. They gone, man. I mean, they left. Is that right, Big John? They left, man. 90 of them left. And boy, I mean within 30 days, I like the replacements a lot better than I did the ones on. Boy, them replacements look wonderful. They got their mouth open, their ears open, they're hungry. They just won't know what they can do. That other bunch fixing to do something to me. They gone. They gone. Ooh, praise God, the Greyhound. Gone. I walk in that Sunday morning, building full. That's the fullest that building's been in years. That boy said, "I don't think we'll be able to let the choir down." People just packed in the chairs on the side, about 60, 70 people. Put a few chairs in the back. They said, "Preacher, it ain't been like it. A bunch of our people's up here." I looked at all them sinners. I mean, it was sinners, the old wicked snake. And I preached to them. That's what I love. That. If you want me to preach, you bring about 20 sinners to sit around there. I'll tell you. I'll do my best. When they leave there, they'll know they're sinners. I talked about a father Sunday morning with a little pair of shorts on. Wife with a long dress on, a pair of breeches on. But Daddy, he got on a pair of shorts. Got a little chain around his neck and said, "I'm the father." "Really? I thought you was Junior." He got more toys than the boy. Wonderful to be in the work of God. I've rededicated my life, really have. I've dedicated my life to fight sin hard. Put a few weights on my hammer. I want to preach. I want to preach to the end. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. Praise God, Homer. Kids ain't nothing like it.
Amen. Let's sing that verse about the cross before me.